The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So news out today, Dublin, the sixth most congested city in Europe, 14th most congested for traffic in the world, and Cork in the top 100 as well, and Limerick. On the day that we also have a commuter group saying that cars should not be given priority in the new Dublin bus plan, and also some information about new plans from the Road Safety Authority in relation to confirming the rights of cyclists on our roads. We'll talk to Michael Sheridan, who is, of course, our weekly contributor to Last Word on Wheels here on a Thursday in just a few moments. We want to start, though, with Ciarán Ferry from iBike Dublin. And I'm fascinated by the rights of cyclists on the road, which are often disregarded by many motorists. Confirmation apparently coming in the new rules of the road as to what exactly, Ciarán?
Okay, well, Matt, what they're confirming here is that someone riding a bike can take a primary position in the road, which is to take the central part of the carriageway. And the reason that someone on a bike would do that is generally for their own safety, so that they can have a better view if they're approaching a junction, for example, or that they can be seen better by cars coming behind, especially if you are on a narrow road where overtaking might be dangerous, or if the person on the bike is turning right. And it particularly applies in urban areas where you've got narrow roads. You could quite often be cycling alongside parked cars, and the risk of somebody opening a door into you is always there. So positioning yourself in the middle of the road is a safety measure. And the important thing to note is that this is being taught as a safety measure to our school children as part of the Cycle Right initiative, which is run by the Department of Transport. So we've got 10 and 11 year old kids who are being taught to do this. But at the same time, we've got the adults who are driving the cars who aren't aware of it as an issue. So
not only not aware of it, Ciarán, but I think who start hooting the cyclists out of the way or certain shouting abuse at them on the basis that they don't have a right to be on the road, that space for cars, and they pay their motor tax and they pay their insurance. So why should they actually have to share this road space with these pesky cyclists?
There's a lot of things to pick on that. First of all, your motor tax doesn't go towards the roads. Your motor tax is a tax on the emissions in your cars. The second thing is that most adults who cycle are also drivers. I pay motor tax. I pay insurance. But the right to go on the road is not exclusive to cars. The roads were there before cars were. The roads were actually paved initially for people to cycle on. Believe it or not,
horse and cart.
Well, yeah, I mean, the horse and cart could have survived with a rougher surface, but it was actually when cycling came along that's when the roads started to get paved. People who cycle have a perfect right to be on the road, and there is that confusion there. There is that sense that, particularly amongst drivers, who don't understand that this is what people who cycle are being advised to do for their own safety.
And of course, there's also many motorists who believe that it's somehow illegal for cyclists to go two abreast.
There are, yeah. And again, that's something that you do for your own safety. So if you can imagine a bunch of people cycling, if you had 20 people in single file, it'd be very difficult to overtake them safely because you would need a stretch of road that would allow you to do that. But if they're two abreast, it means they can be in smaller groups. It's like overtaking a car. And that's the way you should look at it when you're overtaking someone on a bike. It's like overtaking someone in a car who's driving slower than you, or overtaking a horse and rider or a slow tractor or something like that. There should be no different.
Michael Sheridan, what do you make of this RSA confirmation? Because it does strike me that there seems to be an increasing aggression towards many cyclists on the road from motorists who seem to believe the cyclists are a nuisance, a pest, and don't have a right to be there.
It's an alarming situation. I mean, in law, cyclists can't ride on footpaths, but we've got medieval cities. You look at some of the narrow streets in Cork, you look at them in Dublin, and you see that there's no way they're designed for the traffic that we have today. As Ciarán says, cyclists, the majority of them are motorists as well, and know the lie of the land. But the most frustrating thing is, on a bicycle, you are so vulnerable. And if motorists aren't paying attention, as they're cocooned in their car, you know, with their heater on, they're listening to the radio, they're not necessarily paying full attention. A cyclist is so vulnerable. And if a cyclist takes up the primary center of a lane, they have to be confident that they can be seen by that person. So we need to make sure that drivers are educated to look for single track vehicles. You'll see with motorcyclists as well, you'll see a lot of motorcyclists who'll happily take up the centre of their lane and look conspicuous, and they can accelerate away from problems.
Isn't that the key, Michael? Isn't that the key, though? Because the motorists perhaps allow the motorcyclists to do that because they're going faster. They don't feel that the motorcyclists are inhibiting them in their rush to go wherever it is they're going to.
That's true, but they also have a more visible presence because they're a little bit wider. They also have a helmet on and usually other gear. You'll often see with novice motorcyclists, say on mopeds, that they'll ride like a cyclist. So if they ride into the left, that often invites an overtake from a car behind. Subconsciously, you're saying there's space here and you can overtake me. So if cyclists, if we saw cyclists as being visible and taking command of a lane, particularly in slow-moving city traffic, there would be less problems because you'd say, okay, they have an exact right to be where they are. I can see them, and then they can safely see junctions. They can safely make right-hand turns, which are always lethal. They can make their left-hand turn, and they can make the proper decisions. The trouble is, if you get somebody just dawdling along, you'll find that it will infuriate some drivers who mightn't have the same mindset, and that can cause all sorts of road rage. And that's the terrible thing, is it's always a contest between motorists and cyclists. It shouldn't be. It should be working in harmony, but our cities and our planning isn't helping us to do that.
Well then, Kieran Ferry, does that mean less cars on the roads? Is that the way to deal with congestion? And the way to deal with the new bus plan coming forward is to have less space rather than more space for the cars, and give the space to buses as public transport, and also to bicycles and pedestrians.
Well, in countries where there are successful cycling cultures, generally it's because cyclists are kept away from people driving. So you've got segregated cycle lanes in most cases, in places, particularly in Holland and in Denmark and so on. And that's something we don't have very much of in Dublin. And that's something that there are plans in place for. There is a Greater Dublin Area Cycle Network plan, which was produced 5 years ago, which we're not seeing much evidence of at the moment, which does plan a very extensive network of segregated cycle lanes. And if we had something like that, we wouldn't have this conflict between people cycling and people driving on the roads. And that's part of the issue at the moment. But the issue of priority then, that comes again from government policy. There's a document called the Design Manual for Urban Roads and Streets, which was produced about 6 years ago, I think. And that sets out a hierarchy. So when you're designing for streets in urban areas, that you first of all prioritise people walking, then you prioritise people cycling, then public transport, and then people driving. And that hierarchy ensures that the streets are livable, the streets that you're providing space for the most efficient modes of transport, and you're providing space for active travel, walking and cycling.
But also a safety issue, because one thing that I find terrifying as a cyclist is buses and also articulated trucks. Yeah. Now here we are in narrow streets around our cities and out in country roads, actually sharing that space.
Yeah, and that's the situation we have at the moment, is kind of the reverse of that hierarchy, in that you've got people cycling sharing a lane with buses, and then you've got private cars which have a dedicated lane of their own. And that needs to change if we're going to make this city a safer place and a more pleasant place to live as well. I mean, it's not pleasant for anyone to have to cycle or to walk around that kind of traffic.
Yeah, Michael Sheridan, it does seem absolutely bizarre that you have cars, which are often single occupant vehicles, getting priority, it seems, over public transport and cyclists. So the poor cyclist has to be in the same lane as the bus. Where's the sense in that?
You're absolutely right. But the thing is, people are commuting in and out of cities and so on. And until we can actually allow people an easy way of dropping their car on the outskirts and getting onto public transport or getting onto bikes, that are, you know, the Dublin bike scheme is fantastic. But, you know, put bikes out where people can cycle in from further out, so they're not clogging up the network of small roads. I mean, you look around the heart of Dublin, those roads were designed by the Vikings for carts. The straighter roads only happened when the Normans came along and gave us straighter routes. But the city in no way can take the vehicular traffic that it has. But you can't blame the motorists for being in a car and needing to get into town, because the alternative just isn't there.
Hang on. Maybe you're putting the cart before the horse yourself a little bit, Michael. Because if you have limited space, as you said, to get into the cities, and it's not just Dublin, this is an issue for Cork and for Galway and for Limerick and all the rest of it, as well as having one-way systems to actually accommodate traffic, maybe if you're going to have more buses, maybe rather than the cyclists and the pedestrians getting squeezed out by having no bicycle lanes or having less footpath space, maybe it's the cars that need to be excluded.
But if you exclude the cars, you have to have an alternative that will work, that will allow people to go in and do shopping, to maybe fill up the boot with stuff. And, I mean, cargo bikes are very expensive. They're fantastic things. But if you want to go shopping or if you want to go and buy something substantial, you need to be able to transport that. Taxis are very expensive. Bringing stuff onto public transport can be a bit of a pain as well. So cars are there and people are using them. So until there isn't a viable alternative that is cost-effective, you can't just bully people in their cars out of it. And you can't also, while cycling is fantastic and a brilliant way, and it would be ideal if everybody did it, you can't just force people to cycle either. So people have to have an alternative that can work for them. We already have people living in commuter belts because they were forced out of Dublin by government decisions that made prices go up and all the rest, yada, yada. We know that argument so well. So there isn't really an alternative, but we should be working towards that and having less conflict on the roads. That's guaranteed. But the bottom line is cyclists have to take up a position on the road that is safest. Safest for them and safest for the road.
Last word to you, Ciarán Ferry.
This is a chicken egg situation here because, you know, we can't provide the alternatives unless we take the cars off the road. We need to make the space on the roads for public transport and for active travel. And it's nobody's forcing people to get on bikes. It's not about everybody getting on bikes and that's the solution. Public transport is a huge part of the solution that we have here. And I think that the discussion that's been going on about bus connects over the last number of weeks, it's important to realise what the aim of this is to create a network where people will no longer need cars to the same extent that they do currently. And there are, I know plenty of people who survive living in this city without cars and still manage to do their shopping and still manage to get around and still manage to bring their kids to GAA and so on. It's not, there has to be a change in the way that we move people around this city. And I think that Bus Connects is a good start, although I think that they need to rethink how they're responding to people walking and cycling.
Thank you very much, Ciarán Ferry from iBike Dublin, and Michael Sheridan, of course, will be back with us on Thursday for the Last Word on Wheels after 6 o'clock here on the Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.